Y'all watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're taping this interview at Permatasapura, straight down at the KLCC Business District. In the studio with me is Mohsin Aziz, the director of the Pangolin Asia Recovery Aviation Recovery Fund. Mohsin, I've been speaking to you for, I don't know, 6 years now, even during my time at BFM. Would you believe it if I told you that this is the first time meeting you face-to-face for the interview?
I was thinking about that as well, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, it is the first time we're meeting face-to-face.
Face-to-face. Bizarre as it is, this is how things are. When, you know, we can conduct full-on, full-blown media interviews and media conversations, but, you know, having to meet face-to-face for the first time in 6-7 years. Having said that, let's talk a little bit more about Pangolin Aviation Recovery Fund. We are now 1 year after the fund has been created. I remember the last time we spoke, we were thinking that the COVID pandemic was at its tail end. That was the first time we spoke about when you guys started the Pangolin Aviation Fund. 1 year on, it seems like it's a never-ending story. The Omicron threat is still around the corner. Let's do a quick recap into the whole 1 year of doing this fund. What's it been for you?
Well, it felt a whole lot longer than 1 year. That's what I'll tell you. I mean, when we started in January, that was the onset of the vaccines. So we had initially one vaccine and then quickly became 2, 3, and 4. So it was very optimistic at that point of time. People believe, all right, this is happening. Of course, we hit through some barriers in terms of availability. The rich countries were hoarding it first, were getting it first. The less rich country, less prosperous country had to wait further in line. But then, nonetheless, the feeling was that of progress. We are getting vaccines, we are gradually opening up. And then the first half of the year went by very positively. Now, as we venture into the second half, the story was much different. We had, firstly, the onset of Alpha. Turns out to be false negative, you know, blown out of proportion, but nothing much to it. Then we had the Delta, which turned out to be quite brutal. I mean, it was more transmissible. Despite the best efforts to contain, it went to every corner of the earth. But I believe, at that point of time, there's something good out of Delta. It has forced more people to actually go, queue up and get the jab. Because at one point you were having cases of people who had one jab but not showing up for their final jab. But Delta changed that. Everybody become more aware, everybody become more sensitive, and the rate of vaccinations per day was actually quite good. So although Delta was short-term negative for us, you know, it hit a fund performance in about July, August, up till September, maybe the early part. But it's for the greater good because it forced people to go and take it. And the anti-vaxxers, their voice have become sort of a background at that point of time. So yeah, at that point of time, I felt that the world has made solid fundamental progress. And around that time as well, Europe has made their unified approach in terms of transborder movement, which I felt was very, very good. I was actually in Europe that time, traveling from London to Switzerland, Germany. It was seamless. It's actually a model the world could follow.
Yeah.
So we were very confident. We felt, yes, this is recovery. Everything that we plan is happening, and the world has got its act together. So of course, the nasty surprise came in the month of November, where this Omicron came about, rather surprisingly. Not much is known out of it, but there's certainly been a lot of rumors circulating around about it. But the guys who are actually medical practitioners or the guys who are at authority kept saying the same thing. We don't know enough about it yet, but thus far indication it's can be something of a concern. So that just put us back to square one. The whole investment community have basically offloaded aviation stock, airlines especially, because the feeling is we're still going to go through this lockdown, we're still going to go through this highly, let's just say, without freedom kind of movement, and of course that's not good for airlines.
This is not indicative of what is going to be in the future, but at the same time it gives us a good glimpse of how this is moving forward. If it's not Omicron today, it's going to be another Greek alphabet many months from now.
It could be a transformer robot name, who knows,
right? Yeah, but the fact remains that, of course, when we talk about aviation, it's not just about the airlines, it's also about transportation, mobility stocks, we're talking about retail in particular, we're talking about products that might involve, or investments that might involve real estate, and so many others in between. But because things are a little bit tough for you guys, the fund ended lower than expected. And this has created some form of question into how we should view investing. We get educated and we get reminded every now and then that investment is a long-term game, and that all the peaks and troughs must be ignored when you think about a long-term timeline. We all know that, but we don't do it. We all get panicky, we all get jittery after 1 year of investment. Where do you see investors' appetite when it comes to aviation moving forward?
Well, unfortunately, sentiment plays a part there as well. Although, to the best of knowledge, with the best of reading through history, you should not use too much of emotion into your investment decision. But it happens. One cannot deny. But at the end of the day, you go back to the fundamentals. You always ask this question to yourself. Can the world not have airlines? Can the world have no mobility? Can the world, you know, travel the world using ships and overland like the Silk Route many thousand years ago? And if you're honest with yourself, the answer is definitely no. We need airlines. We need it more than what we give credit for. Things like we only think about traveling, meeting our loved ones, or the e-commerce that comes with it. But behind the scenes, a lot of our medication, a lot of our components, you know, that we rely on a daily basis, your mobile phone, your computers and stuff, none of them can function properly or can be obtained at such a cheap price without a functioning global airline industry. And in fact, I go so far to say that the reason the lights are on, electricity is provided, airlines have a part in that as well. The engineers that get the raw material from the bowels of the earth, they need to go airlines as well. And then the distribution facility, the transmission facility, these are remote places that are only accessible by airlines. You need engineers to go there at the first sight of problems. So I can go on and on.
Please do. I mean, I don't mind. Yeah.
But the short conclusion is, the comforts of our lives on a daily basis, our electricity, our water, our supply chain, our good food, medication, always being available. If you go inside, right, there is an airline element that made everything happen. Doesn't get its credit, but part of the reason why things are so expensive nowadays, why a lot of shelves are empty, why cars, you have to wait for so long before you get your cars, it's because there's not a proper functioning airline globally, and the whole supply chain goes upside down. So if we want to get the comforts back, if we want to get our normal life back, airline industry have to be open, in the fullest sense of its word, open.
Yeah, I noticed that while you cite nearly every example that is listed on the planet Earth, one item you did not list, which is leisure. And I think that is the part where people tend to extrapolate. I don't, you know, when I fly, I don't think about the kind of things that you spoke of. I only think about my holiday.
Correct. Yeah,
whether regionally, Chiang Mai, Singapore, Jakarta, or trans-regional,
there's
London.
There's just one component.
Yeah.
Although I have to admit, it's the most visible component.
Yeah.
When people talk about airlines.
And while people look at that single one component, the extrapolation to the entire industry is based out of that one point of view or single point of visibility. Do you feel that this kind of sentiment needs to be, I guess, addressed so that people need to understand that the scope is wider than, say, for instance, leisure?
I don't think the people need convincing, because you give people the first opportunity to travel, they do. I myself is an example. Yeah. I was on board of the first VTL flight out of Singapore to KL, and that flight was 100% full, not a seat to be had. And that just tells you, people don't need convincing. The one that is probably the stumbling block right now is the government and bureaucrats. A lot of travel curbs are there, which I argue, you know, the sensibility after what? We're in this pandemic 2 years, and we're still resorting to the same archaic system that didn't work then, and we think it's going to work now. And we think that magically that this problem that we are facing right now, global supply chain, not enough manpower, not enough mobility, is going to go away. So I think the problem is more towards the people at power, not so much the rakyat jelata. They are more open than they get credit for.
So because of this, we know that some of the measures taken might not necessarily work or bear the kind of results that we want. Where do you think the improvements can be made when it comes to national level policy in terms of getting us out of this quagmire of the pandemic?
Well, I'm not the expert, yeah, but we've been into this pandemic almost 2 years. We've all observed things that didn't work, right? Lockdowns, I'm sad to say, is nothing more than a hide and seek. You know, you run away from the virus, you hide away from it. Eventually, when you go out, it comes back. How else can you explain that the daily transmission rate right now is far higher than the pandemic first started? It's far higher than when anybody got any vaccination. So that's just the reality. Lockdowns work for a period of time, but it just defers the inevitability. And then second point, we know what works is vaccines. They help to make the virus far less lethal. We can see it in the numbers. But of course, there's no guarantees in life. Maybe some people they understand the way they want to understand. They thought taking the vaccine is like a foolproof that you will not die and you will not fall sick. But the pharmaceuticals, the doctors never promised that, right? It's just an additional layer or boundary. At the end of the day, you are responsible for yourself. You have to take care of your health. Make sure you eat, exercise, do everything in moderation. And from there, if you're a spiritual person, if you're theologically bent, you pray to God. Ask for good health. But ultimately, the blame is on you, or the responsibility is on you, not on the government, not on MOH. They just try what they can. So I suppose at some point of time, it's up for the people to make their self-decision. We've been at this for 2 years, it hasn't worked. Are we going to continue again and again? So I suppose at some point of time, you know, the word in Malay is tawakal. And I suppose every English-speaking people also should start to understand that word.
Yeah. We'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with Mohsin Aziz of Pangolin Aviation Recovery Fund. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Mohsin Aziz of Pangolin here in our offsite studio in Permata Sapura. Mohsin, let's talk a little bit more about the elements surrounding the aviation industry. Retail, I always like retail. It gives the best pulse to the condition of the economy. Anywhere from the supply chain shortages, that gives a good indication of how things are globally, to consumer sentiment. And of course, you touched upon it early on, especially the inflation that is rising, not just on electric and consumer goods, which we don't normally see a higher rate of inflation. Normally, we see healthcare or education rising. But this acute rise over the past few weeks or months has been a clear indication that something needs to be looked at. Where do you see the realm of retail when it comes to investing inside this sector?
Okay. I mean, we are in our fund, we're invested in a company called Dufree. They are the world leaders with regards to duty-free shopping. They've got facilities in a lot of airports around the world, but beyond that, also in dedicated free trade zones, your cruise terminal facilities, and so on and so forth. They're the world leader. Now, the trend we're seeing is, of course, a lot of airports have been closed, but once they are open and people start coming back, there's definitely a clear evidence of what I like to call revenge spending. So Dufry and a lot of other airport retail have seen this. People come to the store, they buy the biggest, the most expensive items that they can get their hands to. Probably they've been deprived out of doing that for the past 2 years. So you would expect a person to just come get one perfume and maybe one carton of cigarette and go away. That's not the case right now. Most people go with chocolates, few perfumes. You would wonder if they're swimming in the perfume, in fact, yeah, at the quantity that they're buying. And if they can press further, they'll buy more than that 1 liter limit for liquor and stuff like that. So people are want to buy. It's just that they don't have that access or means to do so. So we see this as a long-term positive because the latent demand is there. It's just that there's an artificial suppression with regards to ability to purchase. And once all these barriers come down, I believe we will get back to normal. The people will go back spending as normal, will stock up the facilities as normal in no time. We're talking in a matter of maybe short 2 months, 3 months, everything should be back to normal.
One other area that I want to touch upon is the internet set of things. In your newsletter, you did highlight that, for instance, Booking.com has made $3 billion investment in eTravelli as well as GetARoom.com. And this is consistent, not just within the aviation / retail sector or travel sector, but in the tech sector per se. We see tech has been thriving. A lot of market capitalization has been added to many companies that is revolving around tech. If I'm not mistaken, firms like Zoom, firms like even Peloton, if you think about it, has been quite the talk of town right now. Do you feel that this is an area that might be of interest or given a little bit more focus when it comes to not just a possibility for investors to look into, but a sustainable investment strategy moving forward?
I'm glad you brought Booking up. I mean, for those who don't know, Booking is the largest online travel agents in the world, started as Priceline and then later renamed themselves as Booking, and they've got exposure all around the world. Yes, they are the global leader and they are in a very strong position, and they look into this particular crisis, pandemic, although negative, but as a perfect opportunity to invest for the long term. So you mentioned that they've did a $3 billion acquisition of partners and rival companies, yeah, because they see the value in it over the long term. Now, this is the theme of our investment into the aviation industry. There will be survivors, but there will be a lot of non-survivors, people who just don't have money, they go bankrupt, they'll disappear. And there'll be a lot of companies that do survive, but, you know, for the lack of better word, let's just say handicapped, without a limb, without a leg, because, you know, the crisis have hit them so hard. So the guys who actually survive in a fairly good state, have done the investments, have done the strategic acquisition like Booking did, the future is minted in gold for them. It's powerful in gold because they have strengthened their internal structure, they have strengthened their opportunity to expand at a time where everybody else was struggling and unable to. When it comes to a time, and it will come, I'm not sure when things recover, only then the competitors would try to catch up, expanding, getting market share, buying into rivals. They're so far out into the game because Booking has done all the hard work today.
Yeah.
Come tomorrow, they reap the benefits.
Would you also argue that they're actually buying things on a discount? Not just them, but generally speaking, companies that is on the shopping list right now.
Definitely, they're acquiring it at a good price. But the good thing is they're not boasting about it.
Yeah.
And they're trying to keep low-key. And to me, that's an indicator that they're probably going to do one or two more.
Oh yeah? You think so?
My guess. It's just a hunch. I can't.
Knowing that Pangolin doesn't invest necessarily or doesn't think too much in terms of tech, Do you feel that this is an area of interest for you guys moving forward?
For sure. For the Pangolin Aviation Recovery Fund, Booking.com fills all the gaps. They are a world leader. The management is visionary. They don't care. Whenever they talk to investors, right, they don't talk too much about today's events. Yeah. They are always more concerned to talk about the future. Yeah. They're very future-minded. And to us, that's golden. That's a magic moment. You but show us a company with a management that has that mentality and criteria, right? We're already halfway there. We love them. And then on top of that, they treat their shareholders right. Their cash flow balance sheet is healthy and they've done consistent share buybacks. So those who have invested with them have benefited as well. So they take all the right marks. So what if they're a technology company? It's the discipline that we're more concerned of. And they are, you know, a perfect example, poster child, so to speak.
Now moving back straight into the firm itself, are you planning to grow your fund for next year?
Oh yeah, we are open-ended fund, meaning to say we welcome any investors come in any given day because we definitely see the long-term potential about the aviation industry. Like I mentioned, part and parcel of humanity, we need it. And it's going through the worst disruption since forever. So there will be non-survivors, but if we do our homework, pick the guys who are good, will survive, their future is going to be wonderful. So that's our long-term ambition. So anybody we can share this benefit, this investment idea with, be our partners, be our investor, of course, we welcome them with open arms.
The final part of the conversation that I want to have with you is on the airlines industry per se, specifically the airlines outright. You are exposed with Norwegian Air, Jet2, Gol. How are they doing and how are they faring?
Okay. First of all, we were very selective with regards to airlines in our portfolio because we know from history, from experience, whenever bad things happen, airlines get hit the first. And when the market recovers, airline recovers the last. That's just the reality. So in these instances, we look into Jet2 out of UK and also Norwegian out of Norway, obviously, because of a few attributes. One, they have already gone through a necessary recapitalization exercise, meaning to say they raise new capital and the previous investors have given them money. So this gives them an ability to go through the crisis far better shape than everybody else. Two, the management, in my view, are top guys. They have restructured their business. They have tried their best to minimize manpower dismissal as much as they can. And then in terms of dealing with suppliers, the aircraft manufacturers, they have deferred a lot of their capex, a lot of their aircraft deliveries, long dated. So this gives me an understanding that they are very cautious. They're taking things on a step-by-step basis. And of course, the better part is they don't really have that much competitors anymore because in the case of Norway, their competitors have basically fall bankrupt. And then in the case of UK as well, a lot of their competitors have regressed in terms of ability to expand. So on a relative basis, they are far better shape than any of their competitor. So when the market recovers, we forecast that their rate of recovery will be far greater than a lot of other airlines around the world. That's the only reason why we invested in them. They're unique, they're special in that sense.
Yeah. Can you say the same about most of the other airlines out there?
No, definitely not. A lot of airlines, I mean, closer to home, they haven't got any help from the government.
They've been receiving a lot of help from the government over the past decades. I'm not talking about Asia, I'm talking about Malaysia, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, let's not go there. But when we look into the world, right, there's a total of $253 billion of financial assistance from the government to airlines.
Yeah.
Airlines, yeah?
Yeah.
In the form of interest-free debt or government-guaranteed debt, outright discounts, and then sometimes airline governments give contracts to airlines to fly, and they can fill up the plane with whatever discounted fare as well. And then, you know, in the case of Europe and America, government paid 80% of the salary furlough for quite an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So $253 million. This part of the world, nothing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the countries in this part of the world also nothing. So they are left to fend for themselves. And therefore, for me, you know, given that outlook, given how they've been on the receiving end for the past 2 years, the risk is just too high. I would rather invest my very few money that I have for my investors in countries where the government support is far greater.
Fantastic.
I don't have to take the risk. So I'll try to take the, you know, like any fund manager, my job is to make money, to raise the fund value as much as I can. And I like to do it with the least amount of risk that I need to take as possible. And that's why none of the airlines in this part of the world, in fact, a lot of airlines around the world, the risk-reward is just not attractive.
Okay. We have to close on that. That was our conversation with Mohsin Aziz, Director of the Pangolin Aviation Recovery Fund. If you missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrawani.com. Look for Notepad. You can also look for Pangolin on all our social sites. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.